The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Josh Pick is the chief investment advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested. Welcome to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. Every week, Josh will teach you ways to help manage risk and protect your retirement income in the new economy. The primary focus at Aptus Wealth is to provide flexible planning strategies that can efficiently achieve your long-term retirement goals.
Welcome to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule an appointment or go through the Aptus Blueprint process, Josh's number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. And just want to let you know that you can join Josh as he talks retirement with Bruce Hooley every Monday at 6 p.m. on 98.9 The Answer for Money Mondays. And the recording you'll also find at aptuswealth.com. Josh, let's talk bonds, interest. Interest rates aren't skyrocketing or anything like that, but what role should bonds play in a portfolio if we do see some sharp rises in interest rates?
Well, bonds, historically speaking, have played kind of the stability role in portfolios. As a matter of fact, the easiest way to kind of see that and the importance of it is if you look at what is very popular today is lifestyle funds or target date funds or time funds. And essentially what those do, if you look at your 401k or something like that, you'll see a lot of funds in there that'll have a number attached to them, like the 2025 fund or the 2030 fund, 2040 fund. And all those numbers mean is that's when the giant amount of information that they garner from you is tell us when you plan on retiring, and then we'll just pick a fund for you. So the 2040 fund would mean I plan on retiring in 2040. And then if you kind of rewind the clock back and you go, well, how does that differ from the 2025 fund? If I was going to retire in 4 years versus, you know, many years into the future, what's the difference between the two? And really the only difference between them for the most part is their percentage allocation weight to bonds. Because bonds have historically been believed to go inversely proportional or at least not move in tandem with the market, meaning as the market retreats, bonds are kind of a safe haven. And then they've also kind of added some stability in their own right. And all a bond is essentially a loan. You're loaning a company money to in turn pay you interest and then at some time in the future give you your money back. So adding these debt instruments are a way to add some stability to your overall financial picture. That said, bonds and interest rates don't play well together, meaning as interest rates go down, bond prices go up, and as interest rates go up, bond prices go down. They're inversely proportional. So if you think about where we are in the market today, we are in the lowest interest rate environment in the history of our country. So there's really only two things that bonds can do, or interest rates can do for that matter. And that is they can stay the same or they can go up. I'm not saying they couldn't go down, but I would say it's a high probability that we're not going to see interest rates go down. And if they do, there's not only so much further they can go. So we're not going to see significant drops. However, if you look over the last 40 years or so, interest rates have steadily gone down. There have been periods where they've bounced around a little bit, for the most part. Since the 1980s, interest rates have gone down. So it's been a great time to be an investor in bonds because as interest rates go down, bond prices go up. That said, if you hold bonds today and interest rates remain the same, bonds today certainly aren't earning a whole heck of a lot. So you would be kind of marrying yourself to earning very little. If interest rates go up, bond prices fall. So that leaves you with two choices. If you hold the individual bonds, which most people don't, you could hold them to maturity and own and earn a very abysmal rate. If you try and get out of them early, or own them in a mutual fund. There's always the risk that they'll be sold early without you even knowing about it, in which case you can actually lose money in bonds. So the problem today with bonds, Diane, is we have, you know, the baby boomers reaching the age of retirement at an alarming clip. We have, you know, much less in the way of pension funds providing for retirement. And really, we're left holding the bag, determining what we're going to do for our own retirement. We have Social Security and our investments. And for most people, that's about it. And in the past, you could say, well, great, I'm going to generate some income using some bonds, add some stability, pull back the risk. I don't like volatility because I'm retired now. And the thought of losing 30 or 40% in the market is terrifying, which it should be. So I'll invest some in bonds. But for the retiree today, that stability is coming at a really steep price in the way of long-term performance, in that it looks like, we don't know what the future holds, but it looks like bonds are not going to be a favorable place to be. So you're going to have to come up with alternatives to add stability like bonds once would and generate income like you were hoping from bonds in your retirement, but not utilizing necessarily bonds because interest rates are not favorable there. So investors are certainly left with a difficult predicament, not one that is insurmountable, but one that has to be addressed.
So when interest rates rise, just because they've are is the conversation kind of premature because people start thinking of bonds when interest rates kind of skyrocket? So we've seen interest rates move up a little bit. So is it kind of a too early of a conversation to even consider them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, as any time there's a perceivable significant change in the market, you'll hear people start trying to sell people utilizing fear on whatever widget they're trying to sell. And I think you're starting to hear some of that. You know, you better get out of bonds or you're going to lose your shirt. Or, you know, it's the next bubble. And I think it is a little premature for that, Diane. However, let's think about the opposite of a bubble. Let's think about the opposite of it, of losing money in bonds. What would be a good scenario? Well, a good scenario would be interest rates just remain the same, right? That would be good. Then we wouldn't lose money in bonds. But the problem is we wouldn't earn a whole heck of a lot either. If you look at you know, a time period that looks somewhat reminiscent of what we could be facing today, you could look back to 1950 through 1960-ish. And during that time period, you know, we had gotten over the Second World War. The economy looked like it was starting to turn back around. There was a lot of unity in the country, and interest rates very slowly started to rise. So it wasn't a skyrocketing interest rates. But during that time period, the 10-year treasury over that decade returned less than 2%. So if you think about what's happening in the economy today, and there's some debate over what's going to happen with inflation, et cetera, but I think we would all agree that inflation is a worry. It's a worry regardless of whether or not we're doing stimulus, you know, type spending. It's a worry whether we're doing deficit budgetary issues. I mean, we're running at a deficit as a country. We're printing money. We don't have gold backing up our standards. So it's a worry without all of that. Now, insert all of that, and inflation's a pretty significant worry. Well, if you're trying to keep up with inflation and your hope is that the safe part of your portfolio is held in bonds and cash and CDs, and those things are earning 1, maybe 2% if you're lucky, that isn't necessarily saying you're going to lose money, but your purchasing power is certainly being eroded. So we have to come up with a better plan than just watching our money be, or our purchasing power be eroded by earning 1% and 2%. There are alternatives out there. You just have to be willing to, you know, investigate them, put in the due diligence and the time to figure out what are the pros and cons and make logical decisions.
You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. I'm Diane Brennan. To schedule your own planning session and learn new strategies to manage risk, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, there are tons of ways out there that people are getting swindled or being separated from their hard-earned money. What advice can we give listeners to make sure that they protect themselves?
Well, interestingly, I think this ties into what we were just talking about in the way of, you know, low interest rates and what's in store for the bond market. And we're coming off of, it looks like we're continuing the longest bull run in the history of the stock market. So with that will come people trying to separate you from your money in the way of, you know, scams or pyramid schemes or whatever you want to call them. And they're not new. They're always out there. But they do seem to have some similarities across the board. How they are sold, and they're definitely sold to you. And then typically the structure of them. Now, I'm not saying this applies to all of them, but these would be giant red flags if I was an individual investor and doing some investigation. One, are they promising returns? Meaning, and the returns don't necessarily need to be exorbitant, but the returns, in order for them to catch your ear, are going to have to be something more significant than the norm. Meaning, we're generating 3% every single month and have been for the last 10 years. Well, that's a 36% average annual rate of return over the last decade. That's an outlier. That stands way out. And also notice they said 3% per month. It's usually, for whatever reason, some sort of per month number is what I've noticed through my experience. And then secondly, they'll always have some secret sauce to get there. They'll say, these gentlemen used to be at Goldman Sachs and they were working for billionaires or institutional managers, and now they're bringing the secret sauce down to the average investor. That secret sauce, this information that was not readily available to the public, is usually something that you'll hear. And then if they're not trying to attack you off of greed, they'll attack you off of fear, and they'll start quoting history and using all sorts of, historical references of times in the world where everything went amok. And without this protection element, you could be completely wiped out. So it's usually on opposite ends of the spectrum, either through greed or extreme fear. And then interestingly, almost all of them, Diane, are usually Reg D filings. And there's nothing wrong with a Reg D filing. And probably if you're listening right now, you go, what is a Reg D filing? Reg D filings are things that don't have to go through the same rigorous due diligence process as a normal security with the SEC. So typically they're in small batches. You'll have a Reg D filing of, this is our capital raise number one, and we're putting $5 million into this fund. And then our capital raise number two, we'll go into this next fund, and so on and so forth. And they're usually only open to some form of accredited investors. Accredited investor is in fact a definition of somebody who's allowed to invest in different things. And to be an accredited investor, essentially you have to have a income of more than $200,000 a year for an individual, or $300,000 a year for a family, or a net worth of greater than $100,000. And the reason they do that is because that enables that particular investor to take larger risks because they can quote unquote afford losses. But what you'll often see, Diane, is amongst these kind of scammers, they'll take a very liberal approach to what an accredited investor is. So they'll say it's only open to these, certain people, but it's not quite the accredited investor number. And you'll mail the check directly to that institution. So it will not be to a TD Ameritrade or a Schwab or a Wells Fargo or some financial intermediary. It will be to ABC Investments or whoever that investment company is that you mail the check to. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't great investments that work under Reg D filings and don't work where you invest the money with them. As a matter of fact, I'm well aware of several of them. That said, those would be items that I would hear that would raise some red flags to do a lot more research. So anytime you hear this promise of greatness or protection from downturn, mail us the check, historical returns that, we can't even show you because of XYZ reason, but trust us, they're there. And it's a Reg D filing, so you're the last one to be able to get in before we shut it down. These are all kind of red flags that I would keep a very close eye on, and make sure you get a second set of eyes on them. Call our office or whoever you trust, and have them take a look as well.
We trust you, Josh. We trust you.
Well, I hope
so. And your number to call is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Join Josh as he talks retirement with Bruce Hooley every Monday at 6 p.m. on 98.9 The Answer. You'll find that recording in case you miss it at aptuswealth.com. More with Josh Pick when we come back. You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show.
We'll be back with more at the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick at 98.9 The Answer.
To create a successful retirement plan in today's economy, it takes a customized, solutions-based approach. At Aptus Wealth Management, founder Josh Pick calls it the Aptus Blueprint, and it's focused on managing risk instead of chasing returns. If you're working with another advisor or simply want a second opinion, put his team to work for you. To schedule a complimentary consultation to learn more about the Aptus Blueprint process, contact Josh at 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com. There is no cost or obligation, but space is limited. To start your plan, call 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. I'm Diane Brennan. To schedule your own planning session or if you have questions, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. What are some of the biggest issues your clients or people are calling you about, Josh?
One is uncertainty. That's the biggest one. And two, I think, you know, our industry is changing quite dramatically in the amount of information that we're inundated with on a daily basis. So all this, though this might not sound like an issue necessarily, Diane, because there's certainly lots of them. I mean, I definitely get the calls about, you know, I lost my job or I have a new 401k, what should I pick? Or, you know, I had a loved one that passed away. These are all life, you know, seasons of life changes. You know, we have to do reallocation because we're getting a little bit older, et cetera. But I think the big thing that clients are having an issue with today is the inundation of information and the accessibility of information and almost mental overload. For example, if you rewind the clock back to, you know, 2000, and I would call a client for a review, most of those clients, the only information that they had was their quarterly statements. So when they looked at their investments, they were making decisions based upon 3-month or even annual returns. What happened in the middle, shy of watching, you know, the news channel and seeing that there were, you know, the market had moved one direction or the other, it didn't really resonate or hit directly at home with them because they didn't know necessarily how their individual accounts were doing, except for on longer term basis. Now, if I ask those same clients, how often do you check your accounts? I would say the lion's share of them, Diane, say every single day. And not only do they have them every single day, they have them on their phone. And not only do they have them on their phone, they have them on their phone comparing them to various indices. And not only do they have them on their phone comparing them to various indices, but they also have their friends looking at them on their phone comparing them to various indices. And comparison is the root of all evil, and this is not exempt from that. So then we start asking our friends, well, how have you been doing? Well, I don't know, how have you been doing? And we start doing comparisons on very short time periods. And unfortunately, if you think about, let's use a time period back towards 2000, like I just said, and show the impact that it could have. If you started investing in dividend stocks in 1999 and said, you know what, this tech thing just doesn't make sense to me. The numbers are out of whack. I'm going to start buying stocks based upon actual value. I'm going to buy the Johnson & Johnsons of the world, not necessarily the Tesla of that time period. You looked really, really stupid for about a year until the people who were doing just the opposite of you that were invested in the NASDAQ lost almost 80% of their money in 2 years while you earned almost double digits every single year. Now, why do I tell that example? Because trends and logical investing patterns sometimes take time to unfold. In that time period, if I said you're a long-term investor, everybody would say 10 or 20 years. But that time period might take 1 year. And it's amazing how a 20-year time period investor starts changing their mind after 3 months. And I don't blame them. It's the fact that they're getting this comparison and inundated with information on a daily basis. So the biggest issue that I encounter, very long-winded answer, Diane, just kind of circle back, is people and protecting people from irrational decisions from themselves. Everybody wants to believe that they have a feeling or an inside track. And unfortunately, when it comes to business and investing, you have to be rational about your decisions. And sometimes that entails taking a contrarian perspective while things are really good and you feel like you're going to miss out. And sometimes it's taking a contrarian perspective when things are really bad and you're terrified and you're actually investing more when everybody else is talking about how this is the, you know, the Armageddon. So the biggest issue by far is our own emotions, not the life cycle, not things that happen in our lives. It's just controlling our emotions and making the right decisions at the best possible time.
You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. I'm Diane Brennan. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, Josh's number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, let's talk about homeowners and some of the ways that they can generate income from their equity.
Yeah, particularly today. I mean, there's no question that home prices are crazy. I mean, they're going through the roof, and it doesn't look like with supply chain and stimulus packages and spending, et cetera, that it's going to slow down anytime soon. Now, obviously, Diane, we've mentioned on the show before that you're kind of the real estate expert, so you probably know better than I do. But at least in my opinion, it doesn't look like we're going to have a reversal or a housing crash anytime soon. Could be wrong, but what do you think?
No, the numbers show that there isn't. A lot of people are, the reason we got into trouble with the last housing crash is because nobody had any equity in their homes and because of lending practices. So now we're finding that homeowners have a ton of equity and they can sell before they'd have to foreclose or anything like that. And demand is high.
Right. So that's the same information that I've seen. So if we believe that to be true, it looks like that position will continue to improve or at least remain at the level that it's been. So you have many people who are entering into retirement where their house might be one of their biggest, if not their biggest asset. And for many retirees that I encounter or pre-retirees, their houses are paid off. So while they might have a 401k with $500,000 or $1 million in it, they have a house that might be worth $500,000, so almost, you know, literally doubling their net worth, but it's a dead asset. It's nothing they can use. And then the argument or the conversation usually turns to, well, I can sell it and buy something smaller, but where am I going to go? I mean, the housing market is so competitive right now that it's not as easy as saying downsize. So what oftentimes I'm finding, Diane, is that people are using their houses to generate income. And the way that they're doing that is through something called a HECM loan. And I even hesitate to say what it replaced because obviously reverse mortgages had a very, very bad name. But reverse mortgages were, you know, back in the days of kind of the wild, wild west of the turn your house into an income stream, very unregulated, very commission heavy, very, very high fees. That has changed quite dramatically over the years. And now that it is a regulated industry, fees have come down immensely. Commissions have gone in line with what you would typically see in a traditional mortgage. So it's almost, think of it as a refinancing of your house. If you own a home, many people go and get a home equity loan all the time. Think nothing of it. Don't think it's a bad idea. The problem with a home equity loan is while you can get equity out of your home, you obviously have to make payments back on that home equity loan, or you got a little bit of a problem. Think of a HECM loan the same way. You get a home equity loan on your house. However, the payments on that home equity loan are deferred until you die. So they are accruing and obviously reducing your amount of equity in the home proportionally, but you still own the home. You still have a right to live there for the rest of your life. If in fact those interest payments become worth more than your home, nobody can kick you out of your home. You are going to reside in that home until the day you die. Does not preclude you from selling that home while you're alive if you want to move. It's just paying off the note like any other note. But through this process, and now might be a very apropos time to, or a very opportune time, excuse me, to do it, because interest rates are so low, you could theoretically lock in that loan at, you know, today's crazy low interest rates. You can then take the money out in either a lump sum, or you can take out that money in the form of, think of it as an annuity payment or a pension stream for the rest of your life. So it's a way for many people, granted you must be typically a little bit older, you must have significant equity in your home. They're not going to loan you 100% of the value of your home, obviously. So there are some criteria that you have to fall into, but It's a great opportunity for people who have very expensive homes in areas where they want to live. They don't want to move. They'd like to supplement their income, and their desire to leave a large estate to their beneficiaries is not the number one priority. Rather, the number one priority for them is to live the most enjoyable, secure life that they can live while they're alive. HECM loan is an option. It doesn't work for everybody, but it's a very viable option for some.
I have a quick question about that. What if you outlive your payments?
Let me repeat back to you what you just said and make sure that I'm on the same page with you. So let's say you had a $500,000 house and you took out a $250,000 HECM loan. And the interest on that $250,000 that you're not paying accrues to more than the remaining $250,000 that you actually have in your house. So now you have a loan that has a balance of $550,000 and a house that's only worth $500,000.
Yes.
That is the risk that that loan company is taking. So in every loan that at least I've seen come through my office that I've had clients, and bear in mind, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't do HECM loans. I'm not going to, you know, facilitate the process in getting it approved, other than I will take a look at the terms for all of my clients and make sure that they're what I deem to be pretty favorable. And all of the ones that I've seen, you are still absolutely entitled to live in your home. That is the risk that the lender took on in order to obtain that return. And there's a bunch of ways you can skin this cat too, Diane. I've had people, you know, use HECM loans to, you know, to make improvements or to utilize for down payments on a second home and leveraging one home to buy another. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do there. Obviously, rules apply to all of this, and I, you know, you're going to have to do your own investigation, et cetera. But it is an opportunity that very few people look at. It has a bad connotation, but can be an absolute godsend for some folks. So don't completely push it out of the realm of possibility if it's something that might work for you.
And do you have companies that you can recommend that do this?
There are a few. Yeah, there are a few, you know, call them HECM mortgage brokers that I've worked with through other clients in the past. Again, I'm not compensated on this, so I'm going to provide a few and say, hey, this might be a place that you go take a look. But I want to make sure that you get a consultative approach and talk to various people and see what's best for you.
Let me give everyone Josh's number, the Aptus Wealth Management office number, so you can schedule your own personalized planning session or if you have questions about anything we're talking about. It is 614-364-7300, 614-364-7300. And want to remind you to join Josh every Monday for Money Mondays with Bruce Hooley on 98.9 The Answer every Monday at 6 p.m. More of the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick when we come back.
We'll be back with more at the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick at 98.9 The Answer.
To create a successful retirement plan in today's economy, it takes a customized, solutions-based approach. At Aptus Wealth Management, founder Josh Pick calls it the Aptus Blueprint, and it's focused on managing risk instead of chasing returns. If you're working with another advisor or simply want a second opinion, put his team to work for you. To schedule a complimentary consultation to learn more about the Aptus Blueprint process, contact Josh at 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com. There is no cost or obligation, but space is limited. To start your plan, call 614-364-7300. Or visit aptuswealth.com.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
Welcome back to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. I'm Diane Brennan. Josh, you share great advice for those close to retirement each week. But what are some of the most important lessons people should be teaching their children?
Well, this is a good one. I guess good news, you know, the millennials, although they get a bad rap from all of the people who are older than them, are actually proving to be a pretty good generation as far as savings goes. Much better than my generation, quite frankly. So we're off to a good track. That said, I think there's plenty to be passed down and learned. And ultimately, to be successful in investing, you have to have discipline. You have to be willing to either seek out the knowledge to make the right decisions on your own or seek out somebody who can help provide you with that information, a trusted resource, an investment advisor, et cetera. And then you have to recognize that time is your greatest asset, and then automate your savings over and over again. So obviously discipline, we all know that. Knowledge, we can understand why that makes sense. But time is the big one. And I think, you know, as I look back on my life, and I'm sure you can say the same thing, we don't recognize how powerful time is until we've already used it. But when it comes to investing, the earlier you start in any amount makes a monumental difference in the long run. So one of the things I hear all the time from young folks is, well, I can only probably save $25 a month. I'll wait until I can do more. No, do $25 a month. Do it as early as you can, because $25 a month saved today is the exact same as saving $50 a month 10 years from now, is the exact same as saying $100 a month. You know, you might as well start off small and build up to it. And there was a time in our not so distant past that that really wasn't even an option, because the barrier to entry was quite significantly high. Now, I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could find a fund family that would allow you to contribute 10 bucks a month. So there is no excuse over putting in a dollar amount that's small. Also, costs have come down dramatically in fee structures and investing. So there was an argument in the past that, well, if I only invest 500, by the time I pay all the fees, half my money just goes to fees. So the only one getting rich here is the broker or insert, you know, financial person. That has also gone away. So your excuse of starting small is gone. Start small, start early, repeat, repeat, repeat. On top of that, make sure that you're not too conservative early on, and make sure that you don't invest money that you will otherwise need. So what I mean by that is, young people in general, if you can build up a reserve account so you don't need the money that you're going to save for long-term investing, you can be pretty darn aggressive when you're young, because you have time. And anybody who's, you know, kind of been a little late to the party and started investing into their 50s has realized that that lack of time can dramatically hurt their overall rate of return in the long run. Matter of fact, if you start looking, you know, historically speaking, at the market in general, et cetera, you can find plenty of five-year time periods, probably about a third of the time the market is negative over 5 years. If you go out to 10 years, very, very difficult to find a 10-year period where the market's negative. But as you stretch out to 15 years, you can almost start getting into the predictability of you know, pretty significant high single-digit returns. Then you stretch out to 20, 25 years, and it gets even more predictable. So time allows you to be more aggressive and thus get a higher rate of return. So not only do you have the time spent in the market, but you have the time spent in the market with a higher rate of return because of the time on your side. So if there's anything I could convey, Diane, to younger people, is start soon, start as quick as you can, automate that savings, have it come directly out of your check before you even see it, so you don't have to write the check, because you'll always come up with something that's a lot more fun to buy than investing. And we're all subject to that. I'm not immune to that either. So automate. And then try and spend some time gaining knowledge so you understand why things are happening. And even if that knowledge is not so that you can do your individual investing by yourself, because I think many people should not. Obviously, I believe that way. That's why I do the occupation that I do. But that knowledge will give you a better semblance of understanding on how to pick the right person to work with. Because not all of the people in my occupation are certainly the same. And not all of them are best suited to handle your needs versus necessarily somebody else's. So knowledge, discipline, time, automate, automate, automate.
So do the kids, I say, do they have to have a certain amount before they start having to work with a professional? So could they start with some of the great apps that are out there? Even with their bank accounts, I know some of the big banks, you know, where you save the change and invest it, you just round it up, and there's these different apps like Stash, or maybe I shouldn't mention any, where you can save $5 sure. a week or $5 a month. At what point, do they have to accumulate before they start calling you?
Yeah, I think all those things are great. I mean, obviously, if you accumulate, you know, 12 bucks, you probably don't need to find a financial professional. But I think you'll quickly realize that all of that money that you said you didn't have to save, when you just, let's say, rounded up, you know, your spending, turns into a lot of money really quickly. And when it turns into a lot of money really quickly, you'll start to realize, I think you'll honestly on your own start to realize, you know, I really enjoy this. I know what I'm doing. Or I don't have the slightest idea what I'm doing. I'm really shocked, quite frankly, that this worked up to 10 grand. And now I should probably seek some professional advice. The one thing that I would caution people on is, you know, if you are in your 20s, you've never experienced a bear market, ever. If you got out of college in 2009 or you went into the workplace in 2009, for your entire investing life, you've literally just seen your account go up every single 12 months with a very slight exception back a couple of years ago, a few years ago. And you saw, you know, the COVID craziness happen last year. But that was a very short period of time and it bounced right back and here we are charging again. So I do caution you to know that things do come back down, that there will be a time when everything is not rosy. And do your research today to understand how to handle that or seek out a professional to have conversations with them about what might I be doing to better protect myself and what are my expectations moving forward so I know how to deal with them when they actually happen. Because the worst thing that can happen is everything's been rosy for so long and you've made a lot of money and then the bottom falls out and you get out and you never get back to investing. That's arguably as dangerous as not doing it at all. So that knowledge, that information is very helpful. I think you asked me a question on the exact dollar amount. I really can't put a finger on it there, Diane, because it depends on the individual. It depends on saving rates, et cetera. But I would say when you get a pot of money where you feel like this is a lot of money and I don't want to make any mistakes, it's probably the time to make that call. But the sooner the better.
Josh's number is 614-364-7300, 614-364-7300. So talking about saving at a younger age, you've said people in or near retirement often ask if they'll run out of money. Has that happened? I mean, obviously it's happened, but has that happened too? How realistic is that?
Well, it certainly happens, and the fear is definitely very real. And we were just talking about, you know, seminars and some of the speaking engagements that I do. One of the slides that's in there is, you know, people are more scared of running out of money than they are of dying. So obviously it's a pretty significant fear. Does it happen? Absolutely it happens. What do I think can cause that to happen or what would I be concerned about today? We talked a little bit about this earlier today, and that's inflation. I think inflation could be a very significant risk in the future. I think another one that, you know, could happen is long-term care. Big concern. You know, there's about a 50-50 shot that all of us will end up in a long-term care facility at some point. Fortunately, at this point, our stay is very short, running about 18 months, statistically speaking. That doesn't typically throw a complete and utter monkey wrench in most people's retirements. However, we also know of many people, my grandfather included, who ends up in the dreaded memory ward with a disease like Alzheimer's dementia, in which case people can live a very long time, and that is a huge financial strain. Now, intertwine in there, you have a husband and wife scenario, and husband and or wife is in a long-term care facility, and the other partner is out of the long-term care facility. So they're left to try and meet their needs while simultaneously having their net worth eroded as they're in a long-term care facility. So there's a lot of things that can happen beyond just, you know, I know I have $1 million. I want to live on $50,000 a year. It's, even without interest, I can make it for the next 20 years. So I should be fine. I'm 70. I don't plan on living past 90. There are things that can come up that you would not expect, like inflation, the raising of taxes, the potential reduction in how much Social Security goes up via cost of living adjustments can throw a huge wrench in the gears. The increase of the cost of health care and long-term care, or just the fact that we're living a really long time. You know, this isn't the same retirement that your parents necessarily lived. If you're married and over the age of 65, there's a greater than 50% chance that you're going to eclipse the age of 90. Well, now, you know, if we go all the way back to when Social Security started, you started collecting Social Security at 65, but the average life expectancy was 63. Obviously, this is a pretty well-funded program. Unfortunately, you didn't live very long on average. Now, you might start collecting Social Security and start retiring in your late 50s, early 60s, 65, whatever it might be. Your retirement could last 25, 30, 35 years. Your money has to last a lot longer. So is it a legitimate concern? Yes. All that means is it requires more planning, and we have to deal with new challenges, which is nothing that as Americans we're not used to. We just have to address them head on and not hope and cross our fingers. You know, we can't dream about it. We have to actually plan for it. So my job is to make sure that we look at all of these things and take into account all of the what ifs. And we're not going to be able to conquer all of them, because obviously the only way to eliminate all risk is, you know, don't spend any of your money and just hide under a rock. And then, you know, that's awful. So we have to plan for as many contingencies as we possibly can and eliminate or mitigate as much risk as we possibly can and make sure our money's going to last.
You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show. More with Josh Pick when we come back.
Don't forget, you can hear Josh with Bruce Hooley for Money Mondays every Monday evening at 6 on 98.9 The Answer. We'll be back with more of the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show in a moment.
To create a successful retirement plan in today's economy, it takes a customized, solutions-based approach. At Aptus Wealth Management, founder Josh Pick calls it the Aptus Blueprint, and it's focused on managing risk instead of chasing returns. If you're working with another advisor or simply want a second opinion, put his team to work for you. To schedule a complimentary consultation to learn more about the Aptus Blueprint process, contact Josh at 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com. There is no cost or obligation, but space is limited. To start your plan, call 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300.
Welcome back to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. Josh, there was an article on Yahoo Finance called The 27 Ugly Truths About Retirement. Let's discuss that.
Well, one, what a sad state of affairs that somebody sat down and wrote down the 27 ugly truths about retirement. I mean, they just exhaust every possibility they can come in their mind and came up with 27. And if you can come up with 27, you couldn't come up with 28. I mean, it's kind of a lot, but I did see the article. I'll be honest, I didn't read all of them because, well, like I said, there's 27 of them. That's a lot. But there are some ugly truths about retirement, and some of them you probably don't want to hear. Some of them we've already talked about, though, and that is, you know, you're probably going to live longer than your folks, which is going to cost a lot more money. The cost of healthcare is a lot more expensive than it was before, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight there. It looks like in our country we're very good about keeping people alive, but it also costs a lot of money to do so. These are just ugly truths about our retirement. Will Medicare cover the cost of your health care? And I'm kind of harping on health care. We'll hop off that boat here in a second. But you're probably going to need a supplement. And that supplement, in fact, costs money. But one that I don't think oftentimes is addressed is that the time in which you retire is actually important. And sometimes your success can oftentimes be left to a little bit of chance. And I know that sounds awful to say, and I'm certainly not saying that when you retire, you're just rolling the dice. That's not what I'm saying at all. Let's give some examples. If you retired in 40 years ago and you put all your money in bonds, good news, your volatility has been very, very low. You didn't lose a lot of money in any one year, and you really gained pretty much high single, not high, but over 5% over the duration of that time period. Matter of fact, over the last 20 years, you've done really, really well. You probably could have retired having 100% of your money in bonds. But if you try and play that game today, you are playing with fire. You're probably not going to make it. Your purchasing power is not going to hold up. So doing what you did before might not work moving forward. And why is that? Because of just the chance that you ended up retiring in 2021 as opposed to 1981. That's the risk. Now, were there challenges back in 1981? Of course there were. Your cost of owning a home was uber high because of interest rates. So there's always going to be these different chances and challenges. But I guess the point or the takeaway on this is, if you say, why do I need to work with a financial advisor? Why do I need to work with an investment advisor? I did some historical research, and as long as I just do 60-40, I've read Markowitz's stuff. And Markowitz, by the way, very important guy in the world of diversification and has won a bunch of awards for his work. He's a very referenced person in our world. I read his stuff, and he said, as long as I put 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds, I'll be fine. While I would totally agree with that, back in 1985, I think I would be remiss to say that might not be the best plan moving forward. So just by happenstance and chance, you're in a different time period of retirement than others. And that's just an ugly truth. You're going to have to do some things that other people before you didn't have to do. What if we're coming off the longest bull run in the history of the stock market? You should be very thankful for that. You've profited from that a lot. But what if the next 10 years are not so favorable? What is the impact of your first 10 years of retirement being bad versus being good? I assure you it's quite significant, and we can run the numbers and I'll show you. But the flip side of that is being too conservative is also an ugly truth. It can be very dangerous because you don't keep up with purchasing power. So I think, Diane, in all of these, and again, I didn't read all 27 of them, thank God, because I didn't want to, you know, hate my life. 27's a lot of stuff. But there's a lot of challenges that people who are retiring today are going to have to face that are just ugly truths. Healthcare, low interest rates, potential for high inflation while simultaneously having low interest rates. You know, adult children that haven't saved enough. While I said millennials are doing a great job, unfortunately, people in my category haven't done a great job. And what kind of strain will that put on people who retire today? Should they feel like they have an obligation to help their kids? What about you retire today and we have aging parents that didn't necessarily plan as well for their healthcare concerns? Will that cause a financial strain on us? All of these things, Diane, just need to have a good, thorough conversation and need to be planned for. And we need to have a plan of attack when they come up. So I don't know, ugly truths, just different problems. But, you know, I guess, what different problems do we have today than we had yesterday? Doesn't sound nearly as cool for the article as the 27 ugly truths, right? But
not as
scary. We can address them. We can solve them. You got to address them, though.
You're listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. I'm Diane Brennan. To schedule your own planning session and learn new strategies to manage risk, give Josh a call. His number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. So, Josh, a lot of the ugly truths are directly tied to expenses. What are some potential costs people don't see coming in retirement?
For the most part, people see certain expenses coming, meaning I know that I spend this much on cable and food and clothing. And oftentimes I'll even notice that they see down the line I might need a new car. They see down the line that I might need to put a new roof on the house. But what they don't see necessarily is healthcare costs, the loss of a job, things that get derailed that we wouldn't have expected that were coming. For example, you know, let's look at COVID. How the heck could you saw COVID? How do you even plan for COVID? Well, you make sure that you adequately save for maybe a little bit earlier retirement than you planned because, oh, by the way, a very large percentage of people, about 40% of people, end up retiring earlier than they had planned through either no fault of their own. They lost their job. They quit their job to take care of a loved one. There's a myriad of reasons why people end up retiring early that might not have to do with my health can't handle it. It might be somebody else's health or it might be a job situation, in which case you say, okay, I'm in a great position. My job's uber stable. I'm not going to lose my job. I want to work forever. So why bother saving? I'm just going to work until the day I die. What if it is a health concern? What if it is a health concern of a loved one, et cetera? You may be forced into that position because of reasons beyond your control. So those sneak up on people quite a bit. And I'm sure we can all think of somebody right off the top of our head that got thrust into that position. The other one is not necessarily long-term care costs. Oftentimes we'll think about, you know, if I have to go into a nursing home, that's one thing. But what if I just need some help around the house? What if I'm mentally fine? I'm physically okay. I can take care of myself, but I'm having a really hard time taking care of all of the day-to-day tasks around my house, and I could really use some help. That's an additional cost that we didn't foresee. What if my spouse does, in fact, need to go to a nursing home? We've talked about that many, many times earlier today. You know, what's that look like? And oftentimes, Dane, I'll hear people say, well, I'll take care of her and she'll take care of me. Well, my wife weighs, you know, half of what I weigh. I really appreciate that she'd be willing to take care of me, but there could potentially become a point where, you know, she's not going to pick me up off the ground. I mean, I might need that help. And I know this is kind of abysmal conversation, but it happens to a lot of us. Ultimately, none of us get out of here alive. How we get there is a different story, and we need to plan for, you know, contingencies. Home renovations, I kind of talked about, but there are some ones that we might not see coming. You know, what about flooding, stuff like that? And we would think, well, it's all covered by insurance, but we've all been through that path. We know that that can kind of careen out of control as well. What if we need to make modifications to the home to keep a loved one home, and what's that going to cost? So, you know, again, Diana, I'm not saying all of these things so that people panic and say, well, thanks a lot, Josh. Now I know there's no way I can retire because I have to plan for every contingency under the sun. And how could I possibly save enough money to be okay? We can't handle all of them, but what we want to do is at least know where our strengths and weaknesses are and address the ones that we want to address, knowing that we're proactively ignoring the other ones, you know, on purpose, because we know that either it's not feasible or it's not one that has a really high risk factor for us in our particular situation, but we need to at least address them. Otherwise, we could be surprised, and being surprised in retirement with a huge financial burden, particularly as you're at that season of your life when you're a little bit up there in age, is not something you want to deal with. So let's make sure we address it while we're younger and while we have the ability to make adequate changes.
So if a client is completely stressed out over this and it's completely overwhelming, how do you handle this?
Well, one, I think you let them know you have to lay out what the actual things that they should be concerned about are. So oftentimes I'll have people come in and they're very scared, just terrified of what the future might hold. And when you start asking, what are you terrified of? They don't really know. And I know that sounds scary, but you know, the monster under the bed, once you've seen it, usually isn't as scary as the one under the bed that you haven't seen, right? We want to, maybe a bad analogy or a bad metaphor, but usually the reality isn't nearly as scary as what they've built it up to be. So I think there's always value in knowledge and understanding where you stand. So my objective is always, before we panic, let's find out if there's a reason to panic. And that usually, through that process, the panic subsides. Not for everyone, but it's the only place I know where to start that can have a positive outcome for a reason other than, I think you'll be okay. No, I mean, you want to know where you stand, not just cross your fingers and hope.
Josh, let's go through, when someone meets with you, the Aptus Retirement Blueprint process and what they can expect.
It's a process that does exactly what we've been talking about. It uncovers the stones that many of which you've thought about, some, many of which you haven't, but it tells you whether you have anything to be worried about. So step one, and it's a 3-4 meeting process. Step one, what do you want to accomplish? And what do you have currently to try and meet those objectives? How much are you saving every month? Do you have a 401k? Does your 401k have a match? Do you have life insurance? Do you have everything you've been doing up to this point to reach the goals that you just got done telling me? Meeting number two, we're just going to analyze that data and see if your arrow is going to hit the target. And in that process, or on that road to retirement, are there any speed bumps that could derail you or knock you off your course? And by meeting number three, we call it the blueprint meeting. We will give you the blueprint to address any things that could get in your way, make adjustments where necessary, and, you know, kind of even push harder to the things that should be and are working for you currently. And then not until meeting number four do we decide if this is a mutually beneficial relationship for us to move forward. It is a very long process of gaining understanding and knowledge to make a logical decision. Think of it as an interview process between you and I to see if you'd be a good client and I'd be a good fit for you.
The number to call to schedule your Aptus Retirement Blueprint process with Josh Pick is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, thank you, and thanks everyone for spending time with us today, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with host Josh Pick. Josh helps guide his clients through retirement by managing risk instead of chasing returns. He calls it a blueprint, and you can get started at no cost or obligation. Give the team at Aptus Wealth a call today to schedule your consultation at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300 or online at aptuswealth.com. That's aptuswealth.com. To learn strategies to manage risk in the new economy, join us again next weekend right here at 98.9 The Answer. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company.